Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, how's it going? Welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you for the evening. We have a busy show ahead. John Giles will join us at 7:30. Going to chat about the sacking of Jose Mourinho and the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as Manchester United manager until the end of the season. At 8 o'clock, it's a special hour of radio. It's the hour of radio a lot of people look forward to all year because a lot of people aren't au fait with podcasts and that kind of thing. They like to go the traditional route and just listen to the radio and the goodness that comes with it. And they're going to get an hour, a full hour on, of Golf Weekly.
Oh,
the review of the year. What a year in golf it was. What was your golfing highlight of the year on?
East Lake. Tiger Woods being followed by pretty much every human being that's ever lived.
Well, that was a special moment. That was one of the photos of the year.
It was also one of the moments that kind of made you feel nostalgic, made you feel hopeful as well at the same time, which is strange.
Were you happy for Tiger? Are you happy to see him successful again, considering you've read his book? Have you read his book?
I actually haven't read it.
Oh,
I need to read it. Of course, you recommended it on OTBAM this week that everybody should pick up a copy.
You should pick up a copy.
Which I plan on doing. It sounds sensational. And
like, he's not a very nice man. With all you know about him, though.
It's happy to be it's possible to be happy for the situation without being happy for the man, right?
You're allowed to enjoy the theatre of it.
Exactly.
Without liking him.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your golfing highlight of the year, Richie?
God, it's too many.
Now, you see.
It's too many either.
You're giving me the look of why we're talking about this nonsense. But for the last 3 hours, this whole place is on holiday mode right now. Mm. We're having the off-the-ball Christmas party this evening.
Speak for your Jesus self,
no, sir. I'm just saying. So about 3 hours ago, I said, lads, let's make this a great show. Great show to head into the Christmas period. Let's think of some really good, interesting talking points for the news round. We can get some interaction.
Can I miss
and
the
two
this?
Of the two of you just whatever. No response. No response at all.
Wow.
So now what we're talking about are the golfing moments of the year, and I want to get the off-the-ball listeners' views.
Don't worry about it. I've just been putting together a whole week of Tom Lund shows, but that's fine. That's grand.
What do you mean a whole week? Will you not be here doing them live every evening when people are texting in?
I'm not going to be here during the day in the lead-up to the show like I am now. Sure.
That's really broken my heart there. That's what I was planning on doing all next
Who
week.
Who wounded you today? What happened to you? Is it because I compared you to that dance player?
Yeah, that did offend me.
You do
just
look
because
like
he's
him.
Chubby and has a beard.
Bingo.
You know, I don't look at random bald men with a beard and go, there's Richie.
Basically me, Sadlier and Cunningham. We hang around together. In a gang.
Actually, you're sort of a hybrid of Sadlier and Cunningham.
Am I just?
Oh my God, he does look like him.
That's not even him.
That's not him. That's Alan Norris. No, that's the wrong chubby guy.
That's just a random fat darts player.
That's Alan Norris, who accounted for Stevie Lennon today.
Dear God.
Yeah, unlucky, Nathan.
Do you know what I used to love, now that you are filling in for Tom Dunn all the way through? You do have some good competition, I'd say, at this time of year.
Thanks for the plug.
Fanning's Fab 50. Is
not
that still
on
going?
No, it's not.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Take that, Fanning.
Why?
McCormick's got a free run.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
He's got to be on one of their stations.
No. You think that?
Digital, something. What about his, he doesn't need to do a show at the mornings at the weekend?
He does, as far as I know.
Because I used to be the saddest
I was on that one.
13 or 14 year old around. Whereas when all, like, you know, teenage disco in Ballyhaunis, it was a Christmas, so you were definitely allowed out. I wouldn't go till very, very late because I'd sit in listening to the full Fanning's Fab 50.
That's even more pathetic
nights.
Than something I do.
And even still, it'd be you two and...
Oh, look, Creep is number one for the 15th year.
Or Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
Yeah.
Every year.
I'm glad I missed the last one.
Do you know what Fanning's Fab 50 is?
Yes, I do.
Of
course I do.
Your assertion that CDs were only a 2000s thing
well,
was both frightening and disgusting.
On my first iPod, I had Fanning's Fab 50 on. You can, like, insert
what year was this?
Oh, it was a compilation.
My first iPod was last
2013.
Year,
no, it was like 2005. I was working at H&B when that came out. Yeah,
So 2005 or there.
So what was number one in Fanning's Fab 50?
I don't know. It was just the album loaded onto the iPod, so I didn't quite know what was number one. See, unless they put it in actual order.
Definitely for the years. So I probably listened religiously from, say, the age of 14 to 21 or 22.
Wow.
And it was, went in a cycle of Bullet with Butterfly Wings, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
To be a Stone Roses number in the top 10.
Definitely,
guaranteed.
Every time. I want to be a door to be in there.
And then Mick Christopher to complete the top five.
No, I don't think Mick Christopher
would be in there. No. Dave had a certain type of listener that bloody loved U2, that bloody loved Nirvana.
There was five U2 songs in it every single time.
That liked
One
Radiohead.
Would always be like 43rd.
Yeah, they liked Radiohead. before they got weird. And then those air quotes there for the radio listeners.
So the only Radiohead that'd be in would be Creep and Street Spirit.
Street Spirit.
And you might
Fighter,
even get
yeah.
high and dry
if you're lucky. Yeah.
So none of the good stuff.
What happened to you when you turned 22 then? Why did you stop listening? If it's that good.
You got a job in Today FM.
Started, you know, making our own brilliant evening music shows.
Did he call the last one Fanning's Fab Final 50?
No, I don't think he knew that the last one was coming. You probably should talk about this on air.
It's radio on. You don't know that the final show is coming.
Oh, God, no. Although, in some instances
don't
you do.
Don't get Richie started.
In some instances you do, and that doesn't work well.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe they got rid of it.
Yeah,
what, are you sure about this?
I'm fairly sure. I'm fairly sure.
I don't want to recommend that there are other shows. Like, he's probably doing it at 8 o'clock
Can
tonight.
I just say, 10 till midnight on News Talk is a damn good time for music. A damn good time.
Was it a damn good year for music, would he say?
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Yeah. What was your album of the year, Richie?
Mitski's Be the Cowboy.
It's a good album.
I've never heard of
Mitski. Very good album.
See, I'm so bloody old. It depresses me. My Spotify top five most listened to were all bands from 10 years ago plus.
Like, basically, you are Fanning's Fab 50.
Exactly. Like, it's depressing.
You crystallised at the same time that
the only new album that I listened to on a regular pattern was, like, Leon Bridges, which is the most middle-aged man.
No.
Middle-class.
Middle-class man.
I played Leon Bridges the other night. It's quite good.
It's got a very nice, easy, breezy yeah. Saturday morning vibe off
him. It's fine. That's absolutely fine.
He does sound like he is 70.
Leon Bridges?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. He sounds like he's about 28.
Well, you will agree to disagree.
What was
on that
your
one.
Album of the year on?
Daytona by Pusha T. Best album of the year. Produced by Kanye. Amazing stuff.
All right. I'll have to go and listen to this.
It'll be the youngest thing you ever listen later. To.
The official. No, this cannot be true. The official number one on Fanning's Fab 50 last year.
Go on.
It deserved to be cancelled for this.
Horse
the people should no longer
balance.
Be given a vote.
I would have put that forward anyway, but go on.
The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
Oh, here. Come on. Come on.
Although, if you ever want to see somewhere come alive of a night, stick that on.
Hold on.
People come in, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, one of those scenes in movies, like in 300, where they all come over the hill and it all looks like there's, you know, descending upon a massive battle.
They're crawling out of their cage.
That's pretty much what it looks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm going.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
I'm not doing the rest of this show after that. That's disgraceful.
There was...
You're doing just fine.
I was listening to...
Shut up.
I was listening to Off The Ball on like the 30th of December 2009. And I can't remember who was presenting it, but they were like, now it's our last live show of the decade. Now to leave you with our song of the decade. It is The Killers, Mr. Brightside. So we can speak here, but we've got to live our lives with meaningful actions, and it is probably deleting that piece of audio.
Probably someone else, other than people who are in the studio to blame.
Well, it could have been Gilroy.
Well,
that sounds like a Gilroy move, actually. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
He should be embarrassed.
Joe wouldn't have been into the Killers. That'd even be too cool for him.
Joe doesn't know who the Killers are.
Oof. Oh. Wow. Just popped in there a second ago and everything. Wow.
To ask who
I
the Killers are.
I can't believe that was number one. What was number two? Give me the top three, JP. And also find out why it's not coming back. Like, we should get him on. Like, we could give him one of Richie's 2-hour slots one of the evenings.
I'd happily do that. Let me put my trotters
like three
up.
Nights of it. It was genius. And back in the day, Owen, when there were tapes, I would record the full Fab 50.
Would you? And then how long would you keep
it? And I'd write out the full 50 to 1 on the...
Speaking of like 3 days, insert. There used to be like a Gabo show, like one of the Gabe Byrne shows of a weekday morning. I think over the Christmas, he used to just give like part of an hour, if not a whole hour, over to asking quiz questions. But there'd be like no like quiz people involved. It literally was just like, question number 322. You know, and then you'd go on and ask the question. Like, what's
was
the
capital? Living in Africa at the
yeah.
time.
What's the capital of Papua New Guinea? Question number 333. Who played midfield alongside John Giles when Ireland beat Russia 3-1 at, you know, Dalyman Park in 1974?
And would he reveal the answer?
No, they basically would be printed in the RTE guide, as far as I know, and then there'd be an overall winner. But like, literally, it was just an hour of Gable reading questions. That's radio for your kids.
That it really is.
Was that the equivalent at the time of the Sunday Independence giant sports quiz? That it would keep you going for the entire sports crossword. It would keep you going for the entire...
They still have that.
Christmas.
Yeah.
They do,
yeah.
You got John Green on the phone.
The final word. That's this Sunday, I presume.
This Sunday, yeah.
Yes.
Keeps me going for the full Christmas.
Yeah. It's been getting more and more of an important part of my life.
All right. Top five. Now, listen. Oh, no. I love Dave Fanning, but it had to end. It sadly had to end. Number five. The Strokes. Last night. Strokes had many fine songs. That was a staple of 2002 Cuba nightclub.
The worst song on that album.
No, it's not. I'm saying a pattern. It's not. I'm seeing a pattern here whereby this is basically just going to be the last half hour of an indie night.
So number four, one of Owen's favourite songs of all time.
Pusha T.
Arctic Monkeys, Bet You Look Good in the Dance Floor.
Also,
our team tune.
This is Whelan's, basically. Off to Whelan's Saturday Night.
Now that I think about it, though, our team tune is very much Arctic Monkeys, Bet You Look Good in the Dance Floor, and White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
Which is number three.
The year 2004 was a good year for Off the Ball.
I would put money on White Stripes. White Stripes, Seven Nation Army is number six on the list.
Of course it is.
Number three.
Radiohead Creep.
Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
That's an appalling song. Anybody who likes it needs to be sectioned.
Number two. Richie is the ultimate music snob. See, and this shouldn't even really be on the list. Number two, LCD Sound System, All My Friends.
Yes, that's a fantastic
song. It's a fantastic song, but it's not on the list for the right reason. It's there because people are trying to be cool. So yeah, we like Strokes last night, but also yeah, we're still really cool though. We like
It's when Rob names his top track, side one, track ones in High Fidelity, and he goes with the Massive Attack one, and Jack Black goes, oh, kind of a new record.
Sticky and Drimna, sorry lads, you're forgetting the Smiths, How Soon Is Now. That was number one in Fanning's Fab 50 for at least 3 years in a row.
Well, glad to get along.
I did How Soon Is Now in karaoke once. It was not a good idea. Not a good karaoke song. Myself.
What's your best Morrissey? Go on.
I'm not going to do it now. So
it's Christmas.
A mate and I go into this karaoke club, and we're like, Workman's. So we're like,
Workman's is a karaoke club.
Yeah, every Sunday night.
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah, I did that once. Yeah, I did a Doors number a few years ago.
I did it once and once only.
The end.
No.
12 minutes later.
I did a rather merry version of Break On Through. Remember the crusty version from The Simpsons?
Yeah, yeah.
Very like that.
Did I mention that it's the Off The Ball Christmas party tonight?
You did mention
that.
You
should have had karaoke.
Kind of giving off that vibe with the last 10 minutes of radio, for being honest.
Well, there's literally, you said there was, I asked what's happening in sport and you said nothing.
Do you want Monster and Ulster team news?
I hope Zinedine Kilban doesn't land in the studio later after having a few pints. If he does, can you get him to do a rap? Says the Walkins down Beckenbauer.
I'll willingly take on anybody who wants to wander up after 10 from the Christmas party to just do a turn. Like it's a pre-Christmas Late Late Show.
Does that include non-off-the-ball Christmas parties that are undoubtedly occurring across Dublin City tonight?
Yes.
Anybody, any drunken person can just
wander
up.
Best of luck getting by security, but you know, by all means.
Forget about Ian Lee on talk radio saving an overdose victim live on radio. Happened earlier today. These last 13 minutes of radio have been pure brilliance. Fanning lives, Dave and Bray.
I feel we should have talked faster.
Did Ian Lee save Dave Fanning? Because Dave was down because the Fanning's 550 ain't happening anymore.
Did Ian Lee give him a call? Offering a, you know, chicken and a...
Anyways, back to the important stuff, lads. Golf high point of the year was Mickelson blowing a hole in the myth that golfers are way too honest to cheat. Says Rob, do you remember that?
Yeah, all golfers cheat.
Well, the high point was Mickelson and Tiger lying on wads of cash. Piles of cash,
Mention that in our review of the year. I stayed up watching all 22 holes of that nonsense.
Did you watch that first, the whole thing?
I woke up the next morning and I was assuming when I went online that there would be Phil Mickelson, what a guy, has donated the $9 million to worthwhile causes and it's just sums Phil up. Nothing. Phil has literally not been seen or heard of since he pocketed that $9 million quid. He's in Vegas.
Or maybe he's doing
living it up.
Maybe he's doing the right thing and not telling everybody about his charitable donation. I'm going to give Phil the benefit of the doubt.
Have you seen JP for the last 2 days in charitable donations? Dear God. It's not really the done thing anymore. No. Golfing highlight of the year was the 11 sports coverage of the PGA Championship because it made me realise how much I've been taking Sky Sports coverage for granted.
The Ryder Cup in general was like the highlight of the year. Just
in golfing terms.
In golfing terms, sorry, yeah, in golfing terms.
That's like a carried away home.
It's hard to look past that, really. Any Ryder Cup year, it is always one of the sporting events of the year. It's just, it makes perfect television. And for you guys, being there, it seemed to make perfect sense because they had the biggest grandstands of all time, the greatest atmosphere we've ever seen at a Ryder Cup. It just seemed to kind of spell this magical event, which a lot of people kind of, you know, look down upon.
The highlight for me, actually one of my highlights of the year, was the day before the Ryder Cup. So golf tournaments in general are great to cover from a working point of view because you get inside the rope. So you get to walk off and along the fairway behind Tiger Woods. So the day before the Ryder Cup, the dream came true. Myself and Joe Malloy went out onto the course. We wandered behind, inside the ropes. This was the practice pairing. Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Patrick Reed.
Friends.
And we're there, sitting at the side of the green, as Tiger is 5 yards away, practicing his chipping. So we get the first hole. I'm like, this is going to be one of the greatest days of all time. Mm. Get to the second hole. Tiger standing there. There's this beautiful shot. Everybody else has left. And Tiger standing there alone on the green. sort of staring up into the distance, the crowds behind. So all the photographers are sort of moving around to get this shot. Joe Malloy is standing there with his iPhone. Yeah, this is a good photo, standing in the way of one of the photographers who goes, get out of the way. Joe takes offense to this. He goes, wait a second, pal. I'm taking a photo myself. 2 minutes later, security come over and go, sorry, you two guys shouldn't be in here. Can you please get out? And that's the end of our day, following around.
No.
Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, and Justin Thomas.
That is so heartbreaking. The only question I have is, what did Tiger Woods smell like? You got that close. It's the initial question I have.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Ah, fair enough.
It's not something you think about.
Success, no.
It's like when you look at Rocky 3 in the start of it, you think that Rocky, like when he's really well put together and is rolling in money as he is at the start of that third movie, looks like he smells really well.
Mm. Can you like, Malloy ruined our moment.
I shook Tiger's hand once, did I tell you that?
Did you?
Yeah. After the 2006 Ryder Cup, down at K Club. Yeah, they're all...
What did he smell like, Richard?
Success, his own says.
Success.
Who gave ye clowns permission to talk music?
Me.
Stick to the sport, says Daz and Tip.
And what's, what's your favourite song, Daz?
Texas, your favourite. We'll do a Murphy's Fab 50 between now and 7:30.
Texas, your favourite song. What is your favourite thing? 53106.
Do you do requests, Richie?
If they're any use.
You do them. I've heard you do them on the decks all the time. If you ever see Richie McCormick DJing in town, make sure you go up and ask for a song.
Yeah, do.
Where are you DJing this weekend?
Doyle's.
Saturday night?
Yeah. It's going to be mental. It's going to pop.
Sports news, please, Richie.
Jeez, is that time already? Tommy O'Donnell is set to make his return for Munster in tomorrow night's Pro 14 meeting with Ulster in Belfast. The back row has been named on the bench, having been out since October with a back injury. The starting 15 for Munster shows 13 changes from the side that lost to Castro last weekend in the Heineken Champions Cup, with only fullback Mike Haley and centre Sammy Arnold retained. Arnold's partnered in the centre by Jaco Tautte, who will captain the side for the first time. And Albie Mathewson plays alongside JJ Hanrahan in the three quarters. And Mathewson has some lofty comparison to make about his latest teammates.
Without even having to come here, just watching them play, you see them just working hard. And, you know, that's all you can ask for from players. And, you know, it's a very professional group, and you know, it's just good to see the guys like Peter, the way Peter goes about his business, and Earlsy and those sort of guys. You know, they're real good leaders. You know, they remind me a lot of guys I've played with back home in terms of their leadership and just their presence in the group. So there's a lot of similarities that I can see, and you know, I'm really enjoying it.
Sticking with tomorrow night's game, there's a first start for lock Ian Nagel in the Ulster side for that game at Kingspan Stadium. His introduction, one of three changes from the side that beat Scarlets in Europe last week. Rob Herring replaces captain Rory Best at hooker, and he also takes the captaincy in the process, while Robert Balakoon will start on the wing. Arsenal say they're investigating an alleged anti-Semitic incident during last night's EFL Cup quarter-final with Tottenham. The club have said anyone identified will receive a lengthy ban and have their details passed on to the police, while earlier today Arsenal identified an image of the person who threw a bottle at Tottenham's Dele Alli during the same game. Meanwhile, both clubs have been fined after a scuffle between their players during their Premier League clash earlier this month. Arsenal have been fined £45,000 and Spurs £50,000. Both admitted a charge of failing to control their players in their fixture on December the 2nd.
So you'll hear John Giles' thoughts on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer taking over as Manchester United manager in about 10 minutes from now, but he's been taking training.
Yeah, he has.
Any vibes coming out?
For the first time so far. I don't know if he is effed with the wrong baller in this instance, but it's believed United paid €2 million to loan him from Malta until the end of this season. If Solskjaer's time in charge was to be a success, it's understood it will cost United an additional €8 million in order to make the arrangement permanent. But Solskjaer is just going to enjoy his limited spell in charge.
It's 6 months, and I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm back home, if you like, and it's about seeing the players, seeing the staff. It's about, of course, just being myself. I know that the club's now running a process to find the next manager, so I'm just going to be myself in the meantime, with Mick, of course, and Kieran and Michael, and the rest of the staff. We'll just get the players enjoying football and looking forward to seeing the supporters again. Whatever's gone, whatever's happened, has happened. Now it's just about from here. Everyone starts with a clean slate, and we want players to perform and give them the chance. You've got to start somewhere. Of course, you look at a couple of performances. I've seen the last few games, but you look at the merits. You look at the team, you pick a team now, and then you move on. They'll all get chances.
Pogba back.
Potentially. The thing that struck out to me from all of that actually is just Richie's line about the 8 million that it's going to cost if they want to make him permanent. So if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to cost you 8 million, I know it's down to the contract and how much you get paid and the length of the contract, but really in terms of profile, how much is Maurizio Pochettino going to cost? Daniel Levy looks at that and is like, yeah, he's probably 8 times the manager in terms of profile. Another five million quid onto it, 70 million at the very minimum if you want Maurizio Pochettino.
It's quite clear that anybody who is in a job, the club that currently employ them, have united over a barrel in terms of what they're going to get out of them compensation-wise. Even today, Maurizio Pochettino was having his press conference before their weekend game and their press officer was like completely shut down questioning over the United game.
You should watch the clip. It's quite hilarious because what Sky Sports have done is just zoomed in on Pochettino, so you don't even see the press officer. So the Sky Sports reporter is having this row for a good 5 minutes trying to ask him a question about Manchester United in a variety of different ways, and you just hear the press officer saying, it's not happening, it's not happening. And then I'm not sure with Pochettino whether he's laughing or not, but he goes, well done, well done. You're going to be the story tomorrow. Congratulations. I'm not sure if he's saying it in a slightly, you've got what you wanted here. Mm. How dare you silence me? Yeah. I find that dynamic a bit weird. I understand the press officer has a job to do.
Yeah.
But does it not show Maurizio Pochettino to be in quite weak in that position?
Weirdly
that
he doesn't enough, go? It happened a lot during Mourinho's term at United. Her name escapes me sadly, but their press officer was really keen to keep the press conferences between the ditches and would constantly guide where the questions were going, would pick out, obviously they do this everywhere, pick out who's asking the questions. Mm. But she was definitely very quick to shut down anything that was, I guess, going against what the Manchester United Corporation wanted to put out there.
How gravelly is Owen Sheehan's voice going to be tomorrow morning? I'm thinking of Kerry Tom Waits, just to keep the music references going from Ronan.
Well, you know, I'll take Tom Waits any day
tomorrow morning.
You could be the guy who does the scores and the darts. That 145!
Yeah, Jesus, that guy's got really gravelly this year.
He's got a super
voice. He's had a tough 2018, hasn't he?
I don't know, I think he's coming out the best of it now in this World Championships.
Lads, thanks for the great show in 2018. Brilliant. Happy Christmas to the team on OTB.
You're saying this very sarcastically, where's this going to go?
Damien and Cork. Well, JP has just pointed out, Damien seems to be specifying that there was one great show in 2018. So which show was it? Maybe it was this one. Maybe
what was your favourite show? 53106.
We want exact dates and times.
Yeah, we can find it on the logger and put it out again over the Christmas.
So Jeff Hendrick, having a difficult enough time of it at a club level, but yeah, got himself a new deal.
He's going to stick around to her more notionally anyway for another season, Burnley activating the option of a further year in the contract of the Republic of Ireland midfielder. It was due, his previous deal that was, to expire in the summer. Hendricks played 91 times for the Clarets since joining in the summer of 2016. Stephen Ward, meanwhile, is edging closer towards a return from injury for the club, while Robbie Brady is a doubt for Saturday's meeting with Arsenal at the Emirates. But Burnley boss Sean Dyche is reluctant to solve his injury crisis by dipping into the transfer market when it opens in a few days' time.
Yeah, I think the way the club's operated and the way it continues to operate, it's not throwing money at every situation. It's finding the right situations to work for now, of course. There needs to be a competitive element now, quite obviously as well at the moment, because we've got to get wins. But also the next layer of player, the next developable player, the next one that can grow with the club and be shifted on at some point. There's a lot of boxes need ticking to make sure that they're the right players for this club, and that makes it difficult, but that's the challenge that we've been doing for six or so years.
I can't believe you left out the best bit of Sean Dyche's press conference.
The magician.
They had a magician at his press conference. Why?
Because Christmas is a magical time.
Owen, who's going to be on OTB AM tomorrow morning?
Well, we've got Alan Quinlan, we've got Michael Verney, big BDO darts fan, and we've got Aaron and Stevie McKenna, the boxing sensations from County Monaghan. They're home for Christmas. I spoke to them this morning.
Well, we're all looking forward to that. Richie, what's on Tom Dunne tonight?
I can't remember.
Do it in your best Sean Dyche voice.
Lots and lots of great music. Going to be there until midnight tonight, just playing tunes, you know.
Look like Sean Dyche's cousin.
On that note, we're done.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.